Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Fell Into Food podcast. I am your host, Chef Jeff Fell. With me today, James Carr, the president of the Culinary Equipment Group. James, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. So let's just start with who is James Carr and maybe the 50,000 foot bird's eye, and then we'll pick from there.
Oh, you mean outside of the industry?
Just everything. Yeah. Oh. Who is James Carr?
Pretty simple, I guess. A small town guy, live in Wakanda, have a family. I already have four children and a wife. We just like to do the normal things. Very active family, always running around doing things, traveling, going out to eat, have a boat in town on the lake, and nice. Just that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then in the industry, who is James Carr?
Okay. Well, I've been in the industry a long time. I first got into the industry in 1988 when I was 22 years old. My parents had a friend that worked at Carter Hoffman. I had 2 years of college under my belt, felt like I was ready to take over the world. And couldn't find a job. So
don't we all? Isn't that kind of the typical?
Yeah, right. So they said, why don't you call over where Danny works, Dan Sutherland, for anybody who might have known him. He passed away a couple years ago. But so I went over there and got a job in shipping at Carter Hoffman. Worked there about 8 months, realized that I understood why I should finish college. The last day before I left Carter Hoffman in the shipping job, I somehow was wise enough to call the president, the owner of the company, Phil Hartung, one of my mentors, by the way. And I said, Mr. Hartung, this is James. I'm down in shipping department. I'm leaving to go finish college. Wondering if you had any wise words for me. And he's like, I'll be right down to talk to you. You know, it was great. He sat down next to me. And the last thing he said to me is, so are you thinking about getting an MBA? And I said, yeah, probably. And, you know, of course, when I left, I called somebody and said, what's an MBA? You know, long story short, I went back there as a marketing intern during my last semester of college, and did end up getting an MBA while I was there, and worked there about 10 years. Then I found the opportunity to become a rep, which was, I think, 24 years ago. Tomorrow is my rep anniversary. Joined a guy named Don Camacho, and a couple years after that, ended up in the group I'm with now. So I've been a part owner of a rep group for about 21 years.
So then let's dig in. What is an equipment rep group and why are they important? I had Duncan on who does distribution and he explained it, but you are in the thick of it. So again, what is an equipment rep group and why are they important here in the food industry?
Yeah, right. And distribution is a little bit different because when I'm talking to somebody that's completely unaware of what I do and out of the industry and that sort of thing, I tell them we don't buy anything. We don't sell anything. You know, it's, I don't know, if you remember the movie Say Anything, there's a great segment like that. My kids see that I make money talking on the phone, sitting in the kitchen on my computer and driving around, and somehow I make money. So basically what a rep is we are a sales, marketing, and support function for factories. The factories are, I guess, our clients, although nobody in our industry actually calls them clients. We have contracts with all the factories that we do represent, and we perform those functions for them in our territory. Our territory happens to be Illinois, Northern Illinois, from Champaign and Springfield up to the Wisconsin border, three collar counties in Indiana, and to the Mississippi River.
Okay.
So that's our territory, and there's reps like us for these factories in every other territory around the country. And that's what we're supposed to do, you know, is handle the sales inquiries and market the products and take care of problems when there's service calls and different things like that. But we really get into a lot of other things as reps. And it's kind of changed even since I've been in the industry. Well, I guess I've been in a long time, so it's better have changed in 20 plus years. But you know, now so many reps have test kitchens and chefs on board, and that wasn't really going on when I first started out. And it's happening all across the country because there's so much so many products and things that we need to get people to have hands on with, I guess. You know, yeah. We represent Rationale and Irinox, and those are good examples of things that we have in our test kitchen. And we have a full time chef. We have people in our kitchen 2, 3, 4 times a week doing different things. And that's something that the dealer can't provide. So the dealer is the one who actually sells the piece of equipment to the restaurant or to the end user.
Right. Because they may only have one distribution point.
Right.
And they may have something right at their home location.
Right.
But if that's in Florida or California, well, that doesn't help the guy in Chicago to physically see, touch, and then to try and, because maybe back in the day, I'm guessing you'd probably take them to a potential or a current customer that had a piece of equipment,
right.
But then you're invading into somebody's space. You're trying to work around their schedule and you know, their Friday night dinners and Saturday, you know, whatever they have going on.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure it was a bit of more of a dance. Whereas now
it's hard to do that.
Yeah. You can bring them into a test kitchen and actually feel, touch, see, because there's just a different feeling when you get to walk in and actually play with all the equipment and even see it being, you know, modeled. Because I remember when I visited your test kitchen and Chef Ron was going through all, you know, all the different, you know, functionalities of the new Rationale. I'm like, whoa, what do you mean it does this? Obviously, you know, but until you're really playing with it and seeing it constantly, you don't know all the functionalities that they really do right. have. So we kind of touched on that. So what other services do you, you know, besides just repping the product and showing it, you know, how else do you help restaurant owners and food service professionals kind of make those informed decisions on the equipment they're going to buy?
Well, it's interesting. Like if you look at the bigger institutional customers, like say hospitals or hotels, places like that, we'll perform almost the whole entire sales function for the factory and for the dealer. And then at the last minute, kind of the sale goes through the dealer. You know, like in what I'm referring to is more like large dish machines. We represent Champion, and, you know, they make flight machines that are 25 feet long. And a lot of times those are the kind of machines that hospitals and hotels and places like that have. The dealer, it might be a street salesman at the dealer will say, hey, I have an opportunity at this place. Can you come in with me and help me sell it? And I'll just take the reins from there. Do all, you know, take all the steps, you know, from the measuring and the checking amperage and voltage and, you know, specking it out, talking to the end user about the different things that they might want, and really wrapping it all up. And then when they're ready to cut the check, you know, cut the purchase order, it goes through the dealer. So that's kind of fun, because when I tell people, you know, if I met you on the street and you said, what do you do for a living? I'd say I sell restaurant equipment is what I always say. I don't say I'm a rep, because then they...
Right. Yeah. The rep has just a dirty connotation to it.
Or
nowadays.
They just don't even understand. They're
or
like,
they don't understand
okay,
it, yeah.
You know, what is that? So I say, I sell restaurant equipment, and they say, oh, hey, great. Cause my buddy's opening a well, okay. I can't sell your buddy restaurant equipment, but I can hook him up with all the right people, you know, that sort of thing. So on the high end with the more engineered products, we do that, you know, like we represent Randell, and Randell makes chef lines, you know, the big chef islands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a country club or something like that. We'll go in. You know, a lot of times if we're replacing one or something and you work with the chef and you say, hey, what are you thinking of doing? And, well, I have 5 hot wells now. I don't want that many hot wells. I want more refrigeration and, you know, that sort of thing, and help them design it. So that part's really fun. We're also making regular dealer calls, which is going into the dealers, talking to them about our products, meeting people, just keeping up the relationships and that sort of thing. And making sure that they understand who we are and what we do so that they can feel comfortable to pull us in to their customers. Because if they're not comfortable with you and you don't have a good track record, they'll be reluctant to let you go talk to their customers, what they consider their customers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We also, with our test kitchen, that's added really a whole nother dimension. We've always had a demo kitchen, but the last few years we've added a chef, and it's really made a huge difference. I mean, we have people coming in 3-4 times just to proof out some menu item that they might have on a piece of equipment because they're opening a restaurant, but they don't have the restaurant yet. They don't have a space to try it.
Mm.
We say, hey, come in, you know, as long as you're here between 8 and 4 or whatever, we don't even have to be there. We're not going to hover over you. If you want to come in and use the equipment and work things out, feel free. You know, if you want Chef Ron to assist you, feel free. It's fine. He's even available to go out to places. We had a customer who bought a bunch of speed ovens, okay, Ovention speed ovens, and they didn't know how to work them because they were like a gambling place and they didn't have like real culinary background. So Chef Ron went out and worked with them, helped them pick out menu items from their food purveyor, you know, that sort of thing, which is a whole, I never thought I'd be in that kind of business. And there's no, you know, direct payback on that either, obviously. It's just kind of a service.
Yeah, but even though there's not a direct payback, those are the seeds that people remember of they came out and they helped and support. Because then they're probably going to ask the question, well, what else do you represent? What else is, or you're able to just casually have a conversation. And I feel that's the way it's going is when you have these casual conversations, things just come up and it's like, wait, there's that kind of piece of equipment out there? Because you don't, there's so many pieces of equipment out there and everyone's always coming out with something new. You don't even, it can be very overwhelming and overbearing to be like, well, what do I want? Unless you've been in the industry, but a lot of times people will just, this is what I've had in my kitchen and this is what I know. So I'm going to go with that brand because it worked for us in this kitchen, or I'm going to avoid that brand like the plague because it didn't work in my kitchen for whatever reason. So now they have that opportunity to really see it, play with it. And like you said, they're not, there's no direct payback. However, I think the long-term seeds that get planted, and for folks like the dealer, that would be the distributor, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he says when he means dealer, or you hear the word dealer. You know, they have typical customers that are usually buying more than just equipment. Sometimes they also do small wares, et cetera. Yeah. So, you know, they consider their customers because they're constantly repeat, but then you are that extension of their team because they only have so many folks out there. And again, depending on where you're at in the country, it just gives them little pockets that they don't have to worry about. Okay, well, that territory is covered, or we can contact so-and-so to help support them. But I do love being able to get into the kitchen and play. As you get your hands dirty and get to do it without having to have your own kitchen or drop hundreds of thousands of dollars and delay an opening, you provide that service, being able to come in. And with a chef, Ron is so knowledgeable that not anything in a bad connotation, but sometimes when it was just a salesperson, it's just like, well, they know the specs of it. But when you start asking, okay, well, how does this happen? What happens if I'm doing this with a piece of protein? Or what happens to the vegetables if I do this? Sometimes salesperson's kind of like, well, I mean, it does that in theory, but then it's another when a chef starts talking about it and actually explaining, here's what it can do.
Right.
Again, Ron, when I came in, he was doing steak and then the drippings were going down into the vegetables. Right. And it's like, I would have never thought of, you know, using the natural fat that drips off of it.
And I think I even questioned him the first time I saw that. I said, Ron, it's dripping. It's supposed to be.
Yeah. So that's great. So you guys represent a wide range of equipment manufacturers. You know, how do you maybe, I guess, kind of list off who it is you work with, and then what's kind of the approach of selecting those companies to partner with, and what qualities are really important to you?
Well, the heart of our line list, we call it a line list, you know, is engineered higher end products. We have the old Unified Brands Group, which is now part of Electrolux Professionals, which is growing. It's really funny outside of the industry. You know, I mean, on the end user level, they know the brands, Groen, Randell. If I said Unified Brands or Electrolux, they'd, who's that? You know, Groen, Randell, mm-hmm, Avtec, yeah. PowerSoak. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know those guys. So we've been with them for over 20 plus years. Rationale, Irinox, Champion Dish Machines again, and FWE Holding Cabinets, you know, the higher end products that are out there. And that's really the heart of what we do is higher end heavy equipment. If we're looking at new equipment, which we aren't too much these days because we have a lot to do.
Our plate's pretty
full. But when we do, we don't want to get a line that's not going to be well supported by the factory itself. For one thing, obviously, reputation's huge. You know, we're not looking for the lower end items and things like that. We don't want to get something that's way out of our wheelhouse. We don't want to get something that's pulling us away from the core end users that we're going after. And when I say that, so the dealers on the distribution side have their customers, and we also consider their customers our prospects. Because if you're at a country club and you're the head chef, well, it's how I met you, right? You were a prospect to me. I'm like, I have to meet Jeff Fell over at Quest, right? We go after you guys, not because we're trying to sell you something, but we're trying to get you interested in a product so that you will go to the dealer and buy it, right? So that's what we do. And we're looking at hospitals, hotels, country clubs, and those sort of things. We don't want to take a line that goes exclusively to some weird side segment of the business or something like that, because that's going to pull us out of what we do. We also call in the food service consultants. So the food service consultants are typically hired by architects to do the kitchen portion of a big project. You know, if an architect gets hired to do a stadium, for instance, they will hire a food service consultant to do all the concession stands and the main kitchen and all those things. So we call on those guys as well. So you want to make sure that the products you have are the kind of things that they're going to specify in a job. Because it just makes sense. It's just more efficient for us, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a race to the bottom with the less expensive stuff anyway. There's no.
Right. Maybe let's rewind the clock then. When you were starting or getting into having your own company, what was it then, you know, in the early days? Maybe talk through that of where things were and how you then started to pick up some brands, or again, how you were looking at things, because again, you rep some pretty big names, and you know, there's other equipment groups in the Chicago region, and you got some of the big ones. So maybe in the early days, what was it like getting on board, or did they come to you and just say, hey, can you rep us?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I became part owner of the company that became Culinary Equipment Group, we were called Tech Rep at the time. And so it was an already established business. So when I joined them, they had just lost a larger group of factories that they were representing, and they were kind of in a lull. And then they had just gotten growing. And they had Randell, they had gotten growing in Navtech, and then eventually PowerSoak. So they needed to hire a guy. Right. So one of the dealers, one of our dealer distributor friends was like, you should talk to this guy with Don Camacho. He's a young guy. Seems good, whatever. And it was kind of like you're talking about. I mean, when you, in a way, they were starting over, right? They had a little bit of a good base, but we really needed to build the company again, rebuild it. And sometimes you take whatever comes along. You get a call from a guy. He's like, we'd really like you to rep us in Chicago. And you want us? Great, let's do it. You know, I remember one of the first lines we probably took on after I joined Tech Rep. We were overjoyed that somebody wanted us and that we could actually add a company to our line list. It was a small company. It wouldn't have ever amounted to more than $10,000 a year in income, but we didn't care. It was really exciting, you know. And as time goes on and went on, you know, we started looking at, you almost like start without consciously doing it, I guess, trading out lines. Like you say, okay, we have this low end thing, whatever it is. Let's try to get that better one. Let's try to, you know, because we were always building, I guess, around that core of growing Randell. That was our real base back then. And that's old names, good quality stuff, you know. And this is when a lot of the imports were starting to come in. Mm-hmm. And we took some of those lines, those import lines, and, you know, learned our lessons on those. And they have gotten a lot better, by the way. Just slowly, brick by brick, building it up. That's what we did.
So as the years go on, you kind of learn the lessons of, you know, I think any company kind of, I can't say any, but a lot of companies in their startups are looking, all right, I need to make a name. I've got to do something. I can't just hope that somebody big is going to come to me and want to rep. Let's start small, figure it out. But then, as you said, you start to see what's in the market and figure things out. And then, you know, things just kind of seem to work their way with these kind of, you know, looking a little bit to the future in commercial kitchen equipment. You know, how do you see it evolving over the next 5 to 10 years? Because I'm going to bleed that into a little bit of sustainability. But, you know, from what it's been, you know, you start with just convection oven, you know, if we're just talking oven technology, fast forward now and you've got convection, steam. I know Rationale just came out with the iHexagon, which includes microwave technology. I think Unox has theirs as well. You got like Irinox that has low cooking now into a blast chiller. It's mind blowing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So where, in your opinion, where do you think the landscape is going over the next 5, 10 years?
I think it's labor savings has become like the key thing now, you know, and nothing's ever changed. I mean, the main things haven't changed since I've gotten into the business, probably. Labor savings has always been important. Food safety, food cost, you know, efficiency, durability, reliability, those sort of things. Those have always been around. But I think we all learned from COVID that labor savings is really become a big deal. And I think that that's going to become even more and more important as time goes on. The connectivity of the equipment is just going to be huge. I mean, we've seen it already. Champion has Direct Link where you can diagnose, like a guy can be sitting there at Champion in the service department and pull up your machine and say, I see what's going on. It's the element in tank number one. We'll make sure that Major Appliance has that element when they come out to see you tomorrow.
Wow.
You know, so stuff happens like that now where it used to be like, sorry, you're going to be down a week. You know, got to have a guy come out 2 days from now, take a look, go back, see if he has the part, that sort of thing. So that connectivity isn't just, it used to be a little bit of a gimmick, I guess, just because they could do what they did. But now it's really, really makes a difference. Rationale with their cooking, their connected cooking. Okay. Rationale with their connected cooking. Mm-hmm. The things that you can do on that, I mean, I can turn the machine on that's in our test kitchen from my phone right now. If I
want. Crazy.
Yeah, it's great. You can see has it been clean lately? You know, all those sort of things. HACCP data, of course, is way easier. I don't know if you remember the days where HACCP was on a roll of paper. And mm-hmm. I always thought like, oh my gosh, how do these places even really keep that for good record keeping when you just have a big long tape, you know?
Yeah. Now you just plug in USB or even just the connectivity of the software you just hit download and then here you go. Yeah. Here's all of my HACCP. I do agree with that. I think that the connectivity of just the way the world is, are you seeing a lot of customers upgrading or switching out? Cause the traditional model always was, all right, well, they're not cheap. No big piece of kitchen equipment is cheap and nobody wants to just be constantly swapping out. But are you seeing more folks seeing that benefit of all those added values to the pieces of equipment to say, you know what, it's probably time to retire whatever X oven or Z dish machine because of the flexibility and the connectivity that these new ones have? You know, maybe it's only 7 years old, you know, and a lot of folks would bleed them till they're bone dry, right. You know, 20 right. years, if I can get 25, you know, that's great. I got my return on investment. Are you seeing any sort of, you know, more upgrades or swap outs these days?
We see it being a big influence in the decision. It's really interesting when we have people come into our demo kitchen for Rationale in particular, which is on a regular basis. We have a lot of people coming in through the kitchen all the time. And I will have people come in that are maybe thinking about a combi or maybe not even thinking about a combi and coming in and buying a combi, you know, wow. And that's why the demos are so important. But when you go through those features and those things and it starts to make sense, I see it time and time again where you start to see things click with them. And it does make sense. You know, it's not just what we used to call the puppy dog clothes, right? Here, Jeff, why don't you hold them for a minute and see what mm-hmm. you think? It's not that. It's really them understanding what it can do for their operation and being able to justify the cost.
Are you seeing that with, again, I don't want to get myself in hot water, but like the older generation seeing that, whereas the younger generation of chefs that are coming in really kind of, that's all we know is a lot more of this connectivity. So are you seeing that more with the older generation or are you also seeing it with the younger, even when they come in and they're like, oh, I didn't know that was a possibility.
I think we're seeing it with both because even the older generation these days are all cell phone users. And it's really come to that point. There was a guy that I used to work with, a sales manager that when the controls were complicated and kind of new and he'd try to go into schools and try to sell them. It was a combi oven and the lunch ladies were, you know, who had been there forever, you know, in this small town, mm-hmm. especially. And oh, I don't know if I could ever work that piece of equipment. It's too complicated, that sort of thing. And he'd say, hey, do you have any, you know, grandkids? And they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, let me show you a picture. And they whip out their cell phone. And he's like, it's no harder than that. If you can work your cell phone, you can work the controls. And they've come a long way. You know, there was at first when things were digital, and I'm probably going back 20 years and people started adding digital controls and things like that to equipment. They weren't very reliable for one thing.
Right.
I'm thinking maybe they were less expensive. Maybe they just thought that was kind of the way things were going, but they weren't really adding any functionability. You know, if you remember even home stereos, you know, they had knobs when I was a kid, and then they went to like sliders and different things that were never as good. Now it's gotten to the point where these digital controls are as reliable as a cell phone. you know, we don't get calls saying this went down, that went down. They're actually adding value to the product.
That's awesome. What about on sustainability? You know, are you seeing more and more folks come in and say, you know, are these sustainable? Are they, you know, better equipped, more efficient? Is that a big priority these days with chefs? I know a lot of, you know, my vision of where things are going in the equipment world is a lot more hoodless. I just think that just seems to be the, it's going to get there. I don't know when. I just think that because of the flexibility, being able to move pieces of equipment around, you can reform your kitchen. You're not bound to a hood of a certain size in a certain location. Is that come up a lot with sustainability?
I mean, honestly, from what I see, I feel like it checks a box for them. You know, if they're coming in to look for a solution to a problem, it's typically not sustainability being the number one thing that they're coming in to look for a piece of equipment for. But if it has that feature, if it has something that lends to that, then it's definitely an important factor in the decision-making process. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I just didn't know how much people are talking about it, or if they come in and they're like, hey, do you have a hoodless? Like, if that's like a first question of, do they make this in hoodless? I know that's one of the first questions I ask them. I'm always like, does it come in hoodless? Can I get it in hoodless? Because sometimes they'll make it, right? They'll have it where it's an add-on feature.
Sure.
Where, you know, it's literally added on to a piece of equipment. And I know there are some hoodless, you know, units out there you can put equipment on too as well. But just didn't know if you had heard more in that space or not. So what's the most exciting new piece of equipment that you've recently seen?
Well, on the equipment end, I would have to say Rationale's iVario tilt skillet. I mean, it's been out 4 years, so it's not brand spanking new.
They're slick, though.
But it's just kind of different, right?
Talk about what that is, because it is a really cool piece of equipment. Just some of the high-level nuts and bolts. And if you want to see more, then you got to go to visit James Kitchen, because that's Chef right. Ron will show that's you right. the right. egg test. There are some really cool things that from a tilt skillet. Who knew you'd geek out about a tilt skillet? I know when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this is absolutely amazing. So maybe just touch on some features of what the iVario tilt can do.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And the other interesting thing is it's not for everybody. There are people that are like, I don't want all that. I just want a regular tilt skillet, which is great because we have those too with Groen. And so there definitely is a place for both. But what the iVario is, it's number one, it's only available in electric because of the way it works. They added the intelligence from the combi controls to the iVario. So what you can do is you can program in all these different things. And the way the plate heats is by these ceramic elements that are underneath the plate, and they react to temperature changes very quickly. So they have a bunch of sensors, and you can see that the heat pattern in the plate is very, very even because of that. And you throw something on there, pancakes, for instance, and they're gonna come out perfectly because it's so even. And then you're talking about the egg test. So what that is you can even divide the plate into a couple of sectors, and you can have one temperature on one side of the invisible line and another temperature on the other. And if you do it right, you can crack an egg and fry an egg right on that line, and one half will cook and the other half won't.
It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to brag about this, but I've never worked a day in my life in a commercial kitchen. Okay. I got into this industry. I told you how I got into the business. Never knew I was going to end up doing this. And I can cook in this equipment now where I wouldn't have been able to cook, you know, 20 years ago. The iVario is a great example of that. You put pancakes on, for instance. Chef Ron will train us on some things sometimes. And you're seeing them bubble, and you know what you'd do at home. You'd start checking, and he's, don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it. It'll tell you when you need to flip, and just trust it. Okay. It beeps, says flip, you flip them. Perfect, perfect, perfect. It's amazing. I mean, it's truly amazing.
But that goes back to what you had said about those labor issues. You've got to be, there's such a lack of talent these days that have the actual knowledge of how to use a piece of equipment that you have to dummy it down to where you can just push a button.
Right.
And it tells you what to do, because the last thing you want is someone burning product, destroying product, and then what? right? Your how much money in food costs mm-hmm. and labor, because frankly, right. you spent that money, that person doing it, and they got to redo it. I never forget, I was cooking back in the day when I worked at the casino, I was making a bechamel or some sort of milk sauce. And I think I had like four of them going, four tails. I mean, you're talking bulk production for a whole, you know, casino. And one of them, I think the burners were too high or something, you know, no one's perfect. And I scorched it. And when you scorch food, especially milk, there ain't no coming back.
Right.
And I got reamed. And just to have something to tell you like, hey, it's ready. I mean, you, like you said, you had to sit there and do the field test and the spin test and hope, you know, to do the spoon and hope that it's, you know, perfect nap A. But now the equipment's telling you exactly what to do, when to do it. And even some of them have the bump cards or the smart tech where it locks you out because this is today's production. You know, when you're talking more non-com, here's your production. Okay, I got to cook the chicken. I got four buttons and one says beef, you know, burgers, chicken, veggies, and that's all you get to press. Well, you as the chef can control that without having to worry about what's going on in the kitchen because they can't screw it up ultimately. So that definitely is a big piece. So yeah, if you haven't seen the iVario, you have to. Yeah. Like if you're going to NRA, look at the iVario. If not, you're in the Chicago market, go visit Culinary Equipment Group because it is mind-blowing just to see.
Well, and then on the kind of more low-tech side, I guess, we represent TNS Brass, which is the, you know, the leader in plumbing for food service. And they came out with a product. I should have brought a sample. It's called the Ultra Rinse. And what it is it's a nozzle that you can attach to your faucet.
Okay.
And it kind of, you know, comes out like this and it has different nozzles on it. So it spreads out the spray and it's more gentle. So it's really good for like washing produce and that sort of thing. You know, who would think there'd be innovation and things like that on a regular basis?
You know? It's the non techie stuff that doesn't get
enough.
Yeah,
so it's not like, oh, it's, you know, computerized and all this stuff, but it's still like super cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're trying to wash produce and yeah, you're beating it up because you got the sprayer, the water's on full blast and your raspberries are getting just completely hammered. It gives that even. That's really cool. I never would have thought, you know, just plumbing, you know, something on your sink. But there's technology everywhere.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you're seeing it in three compartment sinks and you're seeing it in dish machines and things that you wouldn't normally think. You know, what advice would you give someone who's just opening their first restaurant? You know, you deal with a lot of restaurants, you know, what are some pieces that you would tell them?
From an equipment standpoint, I think you should be aware that there's partners everywhere, potential partners everywhere. Reps are people that want to help. The dealers on the distribution side are people that want to help. Don't try to do it yourself. There's a lot of free help out there. Reps will do just about anything for people. It's just how we are. You know, we're always hoping. We're hoping that, you know, something's going to happen or whatever, and let's just do it. So I would say to make sure you really take advantage of those relationships. A rep will tell you if he doesn't think that you're making the right decision on a piece of equipment, or tell you about something that they maybe weren't even aware of that could be better for their operation. On the dealer side, they're going to do the same thing. And I know that we're all saying all the time, don't buy online. You know, a truck's going to back up to your store and you're going to have to find somebody to take it off and what, you know, but it's really, really important, especially if you're, you know, that might be okay if you're buying a replacement refrigerator or something like that and you have the guys and you have the manpower or whatever. But if you're opening a restaurant for the first time, these dealers are really going to be your partners. They've seen it. They see it every day, right? They're going to know what mistakes you might potentially be making and try to help you not make those mistakes and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the biggest one I always see is a faux pas on the electrical specs or the sizing specs.
Yeah.
Right. They get in, they go to put the piece of equipment and they're like, your electrical's wrong. And they're like, what do you mean my electrical's wrong? And they're like, I can't install this because you don't have the proper amperage, whatever it is. It happens all the time. So to your point, utilize the experts, people who do this day in and day out. It's fun just talking to anyone in your space because the stuff that they spit off, do you know if it's this or this? I don't know. I mean, I've learned through the years just talking general knowledge, like, okay, is it going to be, you know, three phase, five phase? Before, I would have never known any of that type of information. But just like you said, with those relationships and talking in general, it gives you a good sense to be able to say, oh, well, do you have the electrical for that? Or some of those preliminary questions before you even want to buy. You know, people may see a piece of equipment and be like, I want that. They might even have the capacity to run it. You know, I know the rationales take a ton of power. And people be like, I want like four of those. know if you have the power to do what takes actually to run four of those.
Yeah, we talk people down a lot of times like that from bigger plans, you know, to hey, look, maybe you don't need all that yet. Why don't you start out with this? Because you see it in places. You'll be sitting in a newer restaurant. Maybe you see a piece of equipment sticking out too far or overlapping another piece of equipment, something that's not feng shui, right? And you're like looking at it and saying, they either got a deal on it somewhere or they bought it online.
Yeah.
Or a guy cooking, you know, when something's up this high and I thought it was a low boy and it was a regular worktop or something and, you know, stuff like that.
All those little details really make a difference. I can say being 6'4" dude, being in the kitchen and they order something that's too low, that is hell on your back. And you're just like, why couldn't we get like normal people height counters? Let's jump into the weeds. Gas or electric cooking equipment?
Well, that's an interesting one. Chicago's a gas territory pretty much, always has been. Especially when you get into the city, Chicago Public Schools, for instance, they have a lot of older buildings that just don't have the power for a lot of the electrical appliances that we sell. But there's a big movement away from gas into electric. From a functionality standpoint, I mean, most of the factories that we represent that have both, like say it's a steamer or a combi or something like that, and they offer it in gas and electric, they're designed to operate the same way so that you don't know the difference when you're cooking on it. When it comes to ranges, some people just like the flame, you know, but it sounds like, I don't know if it'll happen before I'm retired or whatever, but it sounds like electric is the way it's going.
Yeah. My wife actually asked me the question the other day and she goes, if we ever had to get another place, would you be okay with electric? Because I know a few years back, I was like, absolutely not. I've had electric. I will not use it. But the technology, the way it's gone, it, on a dime, it's no longer the locomotive, you know, type electric burner where when it's on high, it takes a while. It's almost on an instant where they're
super efficient.
And they're super efficient. Conveyor ovens or deck ovens? I'm a big pizza guy.
Well, Chicago is a big pizza territory, right? Mm-hmm. And every time we've represented a company that makes pizza ovens, they always, the sales managers, like, I should be seeing more sales out of you guys. This is a big territory. Chicago is a pizza territory. It's like, okay, number one, all the pizzerias have their pizza ovens already. Okay. Number two, there are so many different ways to make a pizza, right? I was talking to a guy very recently, I can't remember where, who started, oh, I don't know who was it. He started out at Middleby Marshall when they were making the rotating rack ovens.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like Fish Ovens is another one of those companies. So that, you know, that's one way to do it. The deck ovens, the conveyor ovens. We represent Marforni, which makes the brick ovens, the dome brick ovens. So there's so many different ways to skin a cat when it comes to pizza. So to me it really comes down to what they're comfortable making, what their throughput needs to be. And what type of pizza? I mean,
it's true too. There are a lot of varieties, and different styles require different cooking methods.
Yeah, we used to rep a company that their pizza dough. It was a pizza dough kind of thing, and we'd say, you know, the customer's not happy with it, and they're like, have them tweak their recipe. Have Giuseppe tweak his recipe. Okay, great idea.
Yeah, oh, that's great. All right, let's see, next one. Durability or cutting-edge technology when choosing equipment?
Well, obviously you want both, but durability is super important. Durability is in reliability. I was in a restaurant about 3 weeks ago that had opened last June. Happened to be sitting next to the owner at the counter, didn't know that that's who the owner was. We got to talking. Somebody came out of the kitchen and said, hey, boss, the refrigerator's not working again. We're going to have to throw everything away again. You know,
oh my gosh.
And so I said, oh, what do you have? You know, I introduced myself and we're in the business, you know, what do you have? I have this brand that was a very inexpensive brand. And this isn't the first time it's gone out and yeah, it's still under warranty, but every time it breaks down, I have to throw all the food away, you know? And you know, that's reliability is so important from an employee morale standpoint. I mean, you've worked in kitchens, so when you have a piece of equipment that needs replacing and your boss isn't doing it and it keeps breaking down, it's frustrating, right? You can't do your job. So it's a morale buster, not to mention all the waste and the downtime and, you know, how long does it take you to realize you need to replace that piece of equipment? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of in-between stuff, you know. That being said, going back to your question about advice for somebody opening a restaurant for the first time, I wouldn't necessarily put all the money into the back of the house equipment right up front. I would put it into the production equipment that they need to make their product. You know, if you're a burrito guy, get the best burrito grill you can have, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And, you know, your three compartment sink might get a hole in it 2 years from now, but if you're still in business, replace it.
Yeah. You said something, the downtime or time. Most people, it feels like, throw that out the window and they only look at a price tag.
Right.
They don't look at, to your point, well, if it goes down, I have to throw it away. Okay. Well, what's that sunk cost of food? And depending on what kind of cooler it is, could be pretty high, especially if it's a protein cooler. Or what if it's a walk-in that goes down and you've got to move everything from one cooler? I've had that happen multiple times. How many people is it taking? How long is it taking? And then you're, to your point, that morale, now you have a cooler that's just jam full of everything because the hope is that it's going to get fixed or repaired fairly shortly so you can get everything back to where it belongs. But now you're trying to find stuff, you're missing stuff. I don't believe enough people take into account the time. They don't value their time or their employees' time sometimes when they're making some of these big purchase choices. So you should always think about, okay, if it were to go down, not to mention just the headache and the stress of it going down. You know, you run a restaurant, margins are already thin. So take care of yourself in that regards. Night owl or early bird?
Me?
Yeah.
I guess I'm an early bird. Okay. Like to get up, hit the gym in the morning, and try to be in bed by 10.
I'm the same way. Used to be a night owl back in the day, but now it's switched to the early bird. Yeah. Last one. If you had to recommend a good eats in Chicago, because there's so many places, where would you tell folks to go?
Can I give you three choices?
Sure, go for
one
it.
One is far suburbs. So my beloved hometown of Wakanda, I love Main Street Tacos.
Okay.
I can see the back of their building from my house. I can smell it if the wind's blowing right. Fantastic fish tacos. Moving in a little bit in Lake Zurich, D&J Bistro. Been there, I think, 35 years. Great place. It's in a strip mall. You would never expect it to be the quality that it is. And then Purple Pig downtown.
Oh, Purple Pig. Good one. Yeah. I had a couple of friends from culinary school who had worked there. Great establishment. Well, awesome. James, where do folks go if they want to learn more about culinary equipment, about you? Where do they go?
Well, our doors are always open. We're in Addison, Illinois. Culinaryequipment.com is the best way to find us. We're all on there, our email addresses and cell phone numbers and everything. So just give us a call.
Awesome. Well, I'll put all that in the show notes too, so folks, it's easy for them just to click and find. And again, from being there and seeing it, the place is absolutely gorgeous. It's a fun place to play around, especially if you get to meet Chef Ron. He is an amazing, amazing dude, all around culinarian. So thanks, James, again for coming on. And until next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.